Welcome to the Strang Report with Stephen Strang, the founder of Charisma. This podcast is to encourage you to experience the power of the Holy Spirit and to discuss spiritual issues facing the church, our nation, and the world.
Welcome back, and I'm so glad to be talking to Luke Barnett, who I've known since he was a kid. I appreciate you taking time to be on my podcast. Of course, I've known your dad for years. I've literally known him since you guys lived in Davenport, Iowa. A lot of people don't even know that about you. And of course, we went to Phoenix and built that great church. And I remember when he went running across the desert, didn't he, to raise money for the Dream Center in LA? And when it opened, and it was, I was out there. We covered it in Charisma, and I know your dad a whole lot better than I know you and your brother Matt, but it has been so exciting to see not only how the God has used your dad, but how he's used both of you guys. And now you're the pastor of what used to be called Phoenix First, but now it's called Dream City Church. Bring me and my listeners up to date with what's happening with your ministry.
Oh, well, it's so great to be with you, Steve. And you know, back in 2013, my dad had a heart valve repair, open heart surgery. And at the time, I was the executive pastor serving my dad. And I actually told the board that I'm not here to quicken my dad's departure. I'm here to lengthen it. So the day he leaves, I leave. And so when he had the heart surgery, I stepped in for about 6 months while he was recovering. And when he came back, he said, "The people have already lifted you up on their shoulders and you're the pastor." And he calls it forced change. He says that he was trained to preach until he dies in the pulpit. So God forced this change and he accepted it. And so we took off leading the church, and God gave us a new dream for the future of the church, same values. But we just decided that, you know, it's one church right now, a big church in one location, but we want to wrap our web of love across the whole state of Arizona and try to really impact the state over the next 15, 20 years, should the Lord give us that time. And today we have 9 locations, and, you know, a lot of these locations.
Wow. They're in Phoenix, or are they in various cities? What is it?
Yeah, we have 5 locations in Phoenix. We have one up in Colorado City, which is a town on the border of Arizona and Utah, where Warren Jeffs, the infamous prophet, built a polygamous city. And I'll tell you more about that in just a moment. But we also have one in the White Mountains, Sholo area, which is eastern Arizona. We also have a campus in Omaha, Nebraska. And we just launched one in Asheville, North Carolina. And so, you know, God's just been really good to us to open up these campuses. And you know, one of the campuses that was given to us was Pastor Walt Kallestad, Community Church Joy, which was one of the largest Lutheran churches in America, 200 acres.
I know them. I haven't had much interaction with them, but they're actually distant relatives of mine. I should say we have common relatives, but that's for another day to discuss. But I'm very familiar with that ministry, and they just gave the facility or the church, or it was a Lutheran church, wasn't it?
Yeah, the Lutheran church. And, you know, they broke away from the mainline Lutheran denomination when they began to ordain gay clergy and things like that. That wasn't their values. And so they broke away and joined an independent Lutheran organization. But he heard us talking about our dream. You know, Walt Kallestad was a big dreamer. And he heard our dream for reaching the whole state of Arizona. We say that if there's a state known for Mormonism, Utah, why can't there be a state known for people who love Jesus? And so he got so fired up and he said, "I'm retiring. I've been trying to transition this thing. Can I just give it to you?" And so he did. And now we have a thriving church about 25 minutes away from our central Phoenix campus in Glendale. So then we had another church, large 27-acre campus way out in North Scottsdale as well, just really thriving. And so, yeah, I always say my dad's had a good name and a man of integrity all these years. And so that really opened the door for some of these campuses that people just trusted him. And so I'm the benefactor of that.
Well, that's wonderful. And you know, your father's lived in a different part of the country. A lot of the time when I would get to know him was at, you know, various kind of leaders meetings. And there was a period of time where we flew in two or three leaders for sort of spiritual oversight. Jack Hayford was one. Miles Monroe, you know, who was from the Bahamas, who died in that tragic plane crash. And your dad. And that was very, very pivotal to our development. And then over time, I guess, we just changed things. But I've been to your church out there many times, or I should say every single time I'm in Phoenix, I would visit. I never really knew you and your brother that well, but I knew that you were like really good golfers because your dad would brag on you guys all the time. And then, of course, the Dream Center in L.A., which has spawned other Dream Centers, including a small one right here in Central Florida. And now the dream goes on there in Phoenix, and so many things are happening that I want to find out about. But one of them is the thing that went viral when you almost lost your life when you were doing some fundraising. Could you tell me about that?
Sure. Well, you mentioned earlier my dad ran 420 miles, jogged from Phoenix to Los Angeles to raise money for the Dream Center to pay that facility off. And then 3 years ago, 4 years ago, my brother Matthew, he ran a marathon on seven continents in seven consecutive days, a marathon every day for 7 days. And so this is kind of a hard family to outdo. You know, everyone's doing big things. So I said, you know, we had this work up in Colorado City, which was Warren Jeffs. He built a whole polygamous community of 10,000 people. Well, he had 86 wives, and he finally was put in federal prison because he
I remember that. That was big in the news, and also all kinds of abuse and just horrible things. It was hard to almost believe that it was true.
Yeah, it's one of his wives was 13 years old, and they finally found evidence that he, you know, was molesting her. So he was put in federal prison, and his 65th wife, her name was Brielle, is Brielle, and she escape that whole compound, that network up there. You don't ever leave that city because, you know, they're just taught that the outside world is evil and it's almost impossible to exist outside that community for them. She escaped and she made it all the way down to our Phoenix Dream Center. And her life was changed and she was awarded his 10-acre compound as one of his wives when they started awarding the wives property. Well, she couldn't even pay the back taxes on it. And so she said, can I give this to you? And would you start a dream center up in Colorado City and rescue the women from polygamy and human trafficking? And so we did that. Joyce Myers stepped in and she gave us about $1 million to renovate the whole property, get rid of all the triggers in there inside the compound. And we launched that about 2.5 years ago. And it's a thriving dream center today, rescuing these young brides in their teenage years from polygamy and really it's human trafficking is what it is, and educating the town once again. But we said we want to raise money for that project. And so my daughter's dream, Annalie's dream, was to do the Arizona Trail, which is the most rugged of all the national trails. There's longer trails, but it's 119,000 feet of elevation gain. So it is a rugged trail down to the Grand out of the Grand Canyon. So we trained for a whole year getting ready for this. And 500 miles into the hike, we were coming down a very steep part of a mountain. It required us to put our hands on these big boulders to let our feet down 5 or 6 feet at a time. And so Annalie went before me and she had her headphones on. She wasn't paying too much attention. And I followed behind. The moment I put my hand on that 8,000 pound boulder, I felt it shift, and she's standing right below it. So when my feet hit the ground, I just stepped over and shoved her out of the way. Saved her life, really, but it caught my backside. And when you go on Instagram, you can look at the story. You can see it rode me down the mountain. There's skid marks in the mountain about 20 feet. And it broke my hip. It broke my femur. It broke my forearm, three ribs, almost severed my finger. And at the last minute, it was kind of a big flat boulder. It wedged up on a smaller boulder miraculously, where she could reach in and grab my backpack straps and pull me out from underneath it down the mountain away from it. And there I laid in the middle of nowhere, probably 60 miles from civilization, thinking I'm dying, honestly, on the side of the mountain. So she had to run up about 30 minutes to get a satellite signal from the location from where we were. And she called the paramedics and the helicopters came and dropped a big line down in this canyon and put me in a bag and pulled me up by a line out of this canyon and took me to the trauma center and had major surgeries the next day. And this is all about 14 months ago. And it was a long recovery going through PT and all kinds of stuff. But God's been with us every step of the way. And I'm back to normal again now. And God used the whole story. You know, David once said, I thank God for broken bones. I'm not quite there yet. But God, our goal was to raise $1 million. And we ended up raising $2.7 million for the work up there. So God used it for his glory. And we're doing just fine.
Wow. You know, you're laughing a little bit as you tell the story, but I mean, I can't think of anything more terrible than that. I mean, laying there in pain, it must have been excruciating pain for quite a couple of hours. And then,
yeah,
you know, I mean, it the technology that she could even call for help and then a helicopter, you know, 100 years ago, that would have not happened.
Right.
But thank God for that. And then everything about, you know, the recovery and all, thank God you're back to normal. And boy,
so
I really
I
respect
God to
you.
Give me a great story. He did.
I guess you have to be careful what you ask the Lord for, right?
That's right.
Well, when I was out there at your place, you very graciously allowed Clay Clark and General Michael Flynn and others with Reawaken America to use your facility. They do this in cities. They've done it 8 times now in different cities. And I was kind of hoping to see you there, but you were actually out of state. Somebody had sent me a link to your message. It must have been maybe 1 or 2 Sundays before, in which you were very, very bold in standing up for biblical values, which is great. But who would have thought that is being bold? But, you know, in this cancel culture that we're in and some mm-hmm. of the shifts in the law, about the same time, John Lindell from Springfield, who I'm sure you know, also was bold to speak out. And, you know, he's my friend, and we published his book, and we were texting back and forth, and he said he could have spent 5 years in jail if he had preached that in Canada. And I knew things were bad in Canada, but, you know, in a way, it's scary. And so many pastors and other Christians are just timid. They're afraid they're going to be canceled. They're afraid that people won't like them or they'll get in trouble with the authorities. And when I've spoken at these Reawaken America events, of course, I talk about cancel culture because of my book, and I say that that becomes self-cancellation, which I think is the most dangerous cancellation of all. And it's always been hard for people to speak up for Christ. I mean, at least in my lifetime, you know, people would be encouraged to witness to their friends and at school or at work or whatever. But now it goes way, way beyond. What do you think is happening? And maybe I should ask you, what motivated you to be so bold to speak out that Sunday?
Well, it's just seeing what you're seeing all around us. You know, it's curious to me how, you know, the secularists, they're not afraid to speak boldly what they believe. They're openly telling people that Christianity is evil, that Jesus Christ is not the Son of God, that, you know, you can decide what gender you want to be, that homosexuality is a lifestyle where you can live that lifestyle and still, you know, love Jesus and follow the Lord and be a Christian. And they're not apologizing one bit for doing that. That's just what, and here we have, you know, Christians and leaders in the name of false sympathy, you know, afraid to speak out and share exactly what the Bible says on all these issues. And so I put it this way. People say, well, why are you being so bold all of a sudden? And we just haven't changed. We're not doing anything different. we're the same people we've always been. Culture has changed. And in some cases, you know, the church has kept its separation from culture. But as culture has moved away from God, we've also moved away from God and his word while still trying to keep our separation from the world. And so when people say, well, why are you taking this stand? This is just who we are. And we're just not going to change the message just because culture is saying that things have changed. So that really is the bottom line. And what really brought this on was, you know, back in 2020, this was in the middle of the riots taking place. And, you know, and President Trump was running for reelection. And Charlie Kirk, who is the head of Turning Point USA, started to attend our church here. And he came to me one day and said that we'd like to, you know, rent the facility out because we want to do a Turning Point USA conference here. And of course, we rent to American Express. We rent to a lot of different organizations. And so they went through all the, you know, the paperwork and did it right. Well, then, and about a week before the event took place, Charlie came and said, well, I invited President Trump to come and he's going to come speak. Now, I knew when he said that would be a lightning rod, you know, in the culture around us. But my dad has always raised us to be people of our word, to have integrity. And we signed a contract with Turning Point. Plus, it was a president of the United States. And so I think Charlie was afraid that we were going to cancel, you know, when the president was coming. I said, of course, we're not going to cancel. We're people of our word. Well, you know, we had people on our staff, staff members giving me an ultimatum saying, if you don't cancel the president and cancel the event, then, you know, we're going to leave the staff and leave the drama department. And I just said, you're asking me to do something I cannot do. We made an agreement, you know, we're not liars. We're people of integrity. And so at that moment, we lost several staff members because they were just so focused on that. And it just dawned on me that, you know, this really is a battle that we're in. And I just began to pray. We had the event. There were protesters. Antifa was there. It was, you know, it was just the height of all that craziness taking place in America. But I began to pray. I said, God, would you please use our church as a bright light in America to encourage other churches that they can stand strong in this culture and they can be people of the whole word of God. And not just survive, you can thrive. You may lose some people along the way, but you're going to get a lot of people who just appreciate a strong church who will take a stand. And that's what we did. And so as I was praying, one day Charlie Kirk called me and said, I have an idea. We want to try to really educate the young people, the young generation on biblical values of our day. Why don't we do a Freedom Square night once a month at church? And I'll come together. I'll teach the Bible. He's a great teacher. I'll apply it to the government, what's happening today. And then we'll take questions just like I do in universities. So on the first Tuesday of every month, we have Freedom Square at our church where Charlie asked me to do 15 minutes of praise and worship. I get up there and give an altar call, you know, real quick to the point, four minutes or so. And then Charlie gets up and takes an offering for the Dream Centers at night, and then he does his thing, and he brings people in like Rob McCoy. And
oh, he's great. I so admire how he stood up. I've done podcasts with him. I've written about him. But, you know, you are so gracious. You're just like your dad. you know, I was listening to how you were talking about these staff members that didn't want the president of the United States to come. And, you know, it's because it's become very political and people criticize President Trump. I've written four books about him. I've interviewed him and I've had to talk on television about him, not really to defend him, but I did. And it's like somebody says, you know, he's had three marriages and, you know, they rattle off a whole bunch of stuff. And I say, that's true. I don't approve of that. But I said, it's like the Bible says with a speck and a log, you know, you look at the people on the other side, it's so much worse. And, you know, he was a champion of standing with Israel, of standing with the unborn, of other values that Christians have, you know, where politicians, you know, I won't mention any names, but the Bushes come to mind, you know, they're, mm-hmm. you know, when they vote for us and we'll do all the stuff in office and absolutely nothing happens. And the fact that good Christian people cannot see that, I mean, yeah. that's what concerns me. And now we're hearing talk about churches becoming woke. And yeah. talking about critical race theory from the pulpit and,
oh, yeah.
And dropping nice-sounding words like social justice. Listen, I've been an advocate of social justice my entire career, and the poor, and, you know, we have had racial tensions down here in the South for many, many years and doing all this kind of stuff until I finally realized that social justice, the two words sound very nice, but now it's almost a front for certain communist type of doctrines, and people are just buying into it like no discernment at all. And, you know, the purpose of this podcast is not to go and, you know, to do a deep dive into that kind of stuff, but I just couldn't help
right.
but comment on what you say. In fact, if that happened to me, and actually I had a staff member resign who'd worked for me for 15 years when I wrote the book on Donald Trump. He never made a big deal about it, but I had written him a very nice inscription in a copy of the book, and he very conspicuously left it. So that was his way of saying, I don't agree with you at all. Just because I wrote a book, it was called God and Donald Trump, and I didn't say Donald Trump was perfect, you know, some of the things I just said. But I just don't understand over and, you know, if anything else, we ought to be able to disagree on politics without being disagreeable.
Yeah. You know, with this particular couple, you know, it really wasn't even so much about Donald Trump. They had kind of hidden some of their beliefs under the radar about the homosexual lifestyle and, you know, transgender issues. And so all that just came to the forefront, which was a good thing because, you know, they probably should not have been in leadership with those kind of views, especially at our church. And so it was the best thing, you know, for us. But anyway, that whole event kind of thrust us into the limelight. And now we're having our dream conference next week, and the whole theme is stand. And we have about 1,700 churches registered to send their leadership teams here next week. And, you know, we're going to talk about what it means to take a stand as a church in our culture today. And so that dream that God put upon my heart last fall is coming into fruition now. We're going to have a platform to plead our case for taking a stand strong for God in our culture today.
Well, good for you. And I just really appreciate you taking time to do the podcast. Of course, your ministry is well known, but tell my listeners how they can find out more about Luke Barnett. I know you've written a book recently. Tell them how to go online to find out about Dream City Church and so forth.
Sure. Well, you can go online and find out about the church and all the ministries at dreamcitychurch.us. And you can pick the book up on Amazon. It's available there. We've totally sold out and at this point here, but you can pick it up there. And for more information about the Dream Conference this year, you can just go to dreamconference.org and find out information about that.
Well, that's good. And of course, people will listen to this podcast long afterward, but you can plan to go next year because
you've had
it for years in February. And
uh-huh.
someday I'm going to make it out myself just because I respect so much. And I'm always encouraged when I'm around your dad or you or the church. And I'll just tell one little anecdote. I was telling my friends in Phoenix this when I was there a couple weeks ago that I was at a conference. It was over in Scottsdale. I had a rental car. This was before the days of GPS, and I must have been driving around Phoenix, and I get there for the Sunday evening service, and the service was already underway, and your church is on kind of a, maybe a side of a mountain, is it? And
yeah, uh-huh.
So you come in at street level on one side, and you're really in the balcony. Well, I didn't really know what to do, so I slip in a door, and I'm sitting there in the balcony listening to the service. And I realize I'm sitting in the homeless section. it, you know, the lights were dim, and yeah. I didn't really pay much attention, but there was a whole group of homeless, and I'm sitting there thinking, Tommy Barnett really does this, because I'd heard that you guys go up and bring in the homeless and you feed them and let them take a shower or cut their hair or different things.
Yes.
And but that was my, you know, that was my little experience. I'll just never forget it. And I enjoyed the service, and I went up to your, you know, greeted your father afterwards, and he was showing me around and telling me all the stuff. But I just have so much admiration, and just the fact that your dad has been able to mentor and train and get not just you, but your brother too. I mean, both of you are major national leaders in your own right, and to carry on that legacy and the legacy that your grandfather had. You know, a lot of people are forgetting your grandfather, but his ministry there in Kansas City, as I recall.
Yes.
And I remember seeing his picture and your dad as a young man kind of come along behind him. I mean, such a rich, rich heritage that you have. And thank God for what you do. And thanks again for agreeing to be on my podcast. And
You are very kind, Steve. And thank you for being a real friend. You've been a friend to the Barnetts over the years, and we truly do appreciate that. And we love you and appreciate you.
Well, you're kind to say that. But I need you to make me a promise that you talk your wife into doing a podcast with me. I want to find out more about that ministry up in Colorado City. I just think that's so interesting, and people need to know about it. So you talk to her, and I'll follow up later. I guess I'm putting you on the spot a little bit.
I will do it. Okay. And get ready, because she's a stick of dynamite.
Well, I don't. If I met her, it was a long, long time ago, but she certainly has that reputation. You're right. And I'll just thank you again for being on my podcast. Thank you to my listeners for tuning in and for sharing the podcast. My podcast just missed 1 million downloads last month. I was kind of hoping that in January we'd hit 1 million. Didn't quite do it, but it was my biggest month ever, and it's because I get interesting guests like you, Luke Barnett, but also because people share it. And remember, if you're on iTunes, to give us a good review. That helps. And come back again tomorrow for another episode of the Strang Report on the Charisma Podcast Network. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Strang Report with Stephen Strang. Stay up to date with the latest episodes by subscribing on your favorite podcast app and at cpnshows.com. Get the latest reports delivered directly to your inbox by subscribing at strangreport.com.